Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of this day. Thank you for the gift of our faith. Thank you for the gift of these wonderful, especially for the new Catholics. And we ask that you continue to guide and lead them, lead us, to bless us in our conversation today. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I'm going to read you what we're supposed to talk about, and if there's something that you guys have questions about, because it's a lot, okay? And I think that we've talked about much of it already, okay? I'm Catholic, now what? Developing a Catholic worldview. The world confronts us with an overwhelming array of problems: terrorism, embryonic stem cell research, poverty and injustice, abortion, racism, cloning, homosexual unions, capital punishment, etc. This session will introduce you to the fundamental principles of Catholic social teaching as articulated in the recently published Compendium of Social Doctrine, which I left in the directory. You will be equipped to begin thinking with the mind of the Church on critical issues as you seek to fulfill your vocations as parents, professionals, citizens, etc. Any of those hot button issues, problems? Even if you agree with the Church's teaching on it, hopefully you do, but maybe you don't understand why. Teddy?
He agrees.
Teddy's pro-life. He's very pro-life.
He's very very concerned about embryonic stem cells.
He's got so animated.
I honestly thought that would be the reaction. So I just want to take the title of the class, "You're Catholic, Now What?" Let's make a plan, or we can talk about it. Like, we'll make this more of like a group discussion. So, I mean, now that you've been received into the fullness of the faith, or even baptized, how should we do this moving forward?
I just want to say, from the get-go, coming from Protestantism, it's very nice to have a church that can kind of like authoritatively decide things, because there's a lot of issues, whether it's homosexuality or stem cell research or whatever it may be. And if you're just left going by scripture, you can essentially just kind of justify anything if you can just pick and choose a verse. So it's really not to demean Protestantism. But having a church to authoritatively kind of declare these things is nice to have a stance on each particular issue. So.
All right, let me play devil's advocate. So what if it's unclear what the church is saying? Because we have voices in the church that maybe suggest that what we thought was long-standing tradition is not.
Well, there are areas in the in like church doctrine where there is room for, you know, difference of opinion, right? Whether it's like a church discipline or something, as long as it's not like dogmatically defined, and there's like a magisterial teaching on it, then there's freedom of thought. I think. I don't think I answered your question, but there you're.
I'm just trying to be controversial. For example, there's a lot, at least it's a hot button issue for me as the chaplain of the Courage Apostolate. Many of my members, guys that struggle with same-sex attraction, who are struggling to be chaste and live what they thought were the teachings of the church, are being told by some high-profile priests that it's okay.
Okay to have the feelings, or okay to act on them?
Act on them. I have heard many priests say that they've heard in the confessional that penitents, people going to confession, have heard from other priests that masturbation is not a sin. So now what do we do with when that's been clearly the teaching of the church from the beginning? Even into the Old Testament. So how does one figure it out.
I look in the catechism, usually. If I have any doubt about such a thing, you know, not that one specifically, but, you know, when I'm not clear on what the church teaches, I want to go find out what the church teaches. And one would hope that priests will guide you correctly, but some of them don't, for whatever reason.
Yeah, and if I could pick on Ken for half a second, I honestly, that's one of the things that really impressed me about Ken early on, was he went to the beginning, and he read up on, we have the Bible, we do have the catechism, and we've had catechisms, honestly, for over 1,000 years. This happens to be the one that was kind of updated in the 1980s, but you were reading the Church Fathers. I mean, so going back, what did the early church think? Because you're right, things don't change. We have a maybe refined understanding of revealed truth, but if masturbation at one point was not okay, it can't all of a sudden become okay. Same with what marriage is. And there's sadly some of the presbyterate that are speaking as if same-sex unions is not problematic. I don't think we see it as much in the Catholic Church, honestly, as we do in our Protestant brothers and sisters, where there's a lot of fracturing on that particular issue. All right, we can step away from controversy. But I think we should have a game plan, just like all of us. I need to have a game plan, honestly, for my day. I think you guys should get involved in our parish, right? So, obviously, beyond Sunday Mass, I think this is going to sound silly, but I think there's a lot of truth in it. I think families that thrive the most at St. Veronica's go to coffee and donuts. I mean, this is not 100% correlation or whatever the proper math term is, right? But they're the ones that are hanging out for 30 minutes. Maybe it's even longer. Sometimes they run into the next mass. but they, some have met their spouse that way, coffee and donuts. And they get to know other parishioners, and they kind of get brought into a community of faith. Because we know at every mass, Jesus is revealed in four primary ways. Of course, the most blessed sacrament, the word that precedes that, in the person of the priest when he's acting in persona Christi, but also in the community of faith. So it's honestly been one thing that I don't know, I find so important as part of how I want to live out the priesthood, is to try to bring people together, and in particular young adults. Because I, into my 40s, when I entered seminary, and at age 43, I would come alone, and I would leave alone. Maybe someone would shake my hand at the sign of peace. I didn't know a soul at these, but I mean, people would look familiar because I'd always sit in the same spot. I never went to coffee and donuts. I didn't join a Bible study. And I didn't have a community. So when I was struggling, I didn't have the support of a community because they didn't know me. Because I didn't... you guys watch Cheers, right? Mm-hmm. I think there's a very theologically important point that was being made in that show. Do you think Norm, you think the first time you walk into the bar, they all yelled his name? No, he had to go to coffee and donuts over and over and over again. And before you know it, everyone knew Norm. And he became part, obviously a staple foundation to the bar. And then before you know it, you're sucked into a Knights of Columbus, or you're asked to... whatever, 1,000 other things. Or maybe you see a need yourself that there's, get moved into the mommy, mother's group or whatever, and there's a married couples group. There's the Knights of Columbus.
I remember when you first reached out to us to go to that couples group. I was like, I don't want to do that. And then we kind of like avoided it for a couple weeks, and you were like, hey guys, that couples thing, and we were like, yeah, we'll try that out. And we've only had two meetings, but it's been amazing. It's been great. Just to kind of like chat with people and pray together and everything. It's been a huge blessing. So initially hesitant, I'm glad we dove in.
Oh, because of coffee.
Just the flood bed.
Yes.
Offertory gifts. What's the guidance on giving and supporting the church financially?
Yeah, that's an excellent, excellent question, Josh.
You know, I'm a money guy, so.
What's that?
I'm the money guy, so these are the things I think about. How are we going to pay for all this? What's my ROI?
Well, before we get into specifics, I think it is an important point to make because it is part of the life of a disciple, right? From the beginning, God spoke to us about the need for us to make sacrifice, a sacrificial gift. Cain and Abel. I mean, the beginning. And so... it should be part of our life plan, and it should be sacrificial. And if you want my personal opinion, it should be the first. So when we figure out the percent, it should be before Uncle Sam's share. He gets the biggest percent. But, unless you have some sort of tax write-off.
The wheels are spinning.
You are a money man.
Yeah, exactly.
This is being recorded. This is being recorded.
I can get no money.
Donations to the church are deducted.
We have.
Yeah, that is correct.
But you have to get it. What is the standard deduction now for?
Standing deduction went up, so it's very difficult to.
Alright, what has the Bible, what has the scripture traditionally said about we use percentages?
I come from a Pentecostal background and they were obsessed with 10% tithing.
Where did they get that number?
I'm sure it came from scripture, like everything else they purport to believe.
That is the number from the Old Testament. So what does that say about moving into the New Covenant? What do you think Catholics generally give on average?
Less than that.
Yes.
I don't know the number, Father. But
10% of that?
Yeah.
1%. Protestants give 2%. Maybe Catholics make more money. I don't know. Probably not. I think it should be more than 1%. I will just tell you from my own personal experience in my faith journey. When I was awoken, can I say that word anymore? When I was spoken to about... the need for me to be giving. For a while, for most of my life, I never gave anything. Never even thought about it. Well, that's mom and dad's thing. The basket goes by, and then when I was living on my own, I thought, well, maybe I should probably start. So you open your wallet and you only have 20, so you close it back up and put it in your pocket. But then after a while, I realized that this is not what I'm being called to do. And so you throw a 20 in there and you feel like super proud of yourself. But you know, I was making some good money then. And then I started to think about it and then I started realizing you can't throw cash then. You just need to start writing checks. This needs to be a sacrificial gift. And I'm not saying this is going to happen if you're not yet doing that and you begin to do it. It's just weird. I started getting huge promotions. I got a car allowance. And, you know, all these things. When I became more generous, it's like money started falling out of the sky so that I could even be more generous. And before you knew it, I had more money. I couldn't spend it. So I'm like, 10% doesn't seem like enough anymore. And so, and eventually, obviously, now I have no need for money. I can even be more generous. But I think that's how it does, generally speaking, work. That's not why we give, right? But God, and he's more generous than we are. Like Mother Angelica is a great example of this. She's the founder of the EWTN network. She prayerfully discerned everything. She prayerfully discerned that they needed a new satellite for their network, as one of the examples that she spoke about. And she never doubted that this would happen. So she had no money, and she just moved forward. We're doing this, and like wheels were in motion, and they may be bankrupt because there's not money to pay for this very expensive thing. And so, wouldn't you know it, someone dropped this huge check for the exact amount on the day that that bill was due. And she had many examples like that. I think, I know that that's how God works. I'm not saying we should be reckless. And maybe you don't just go from, you know, pulling out a few bucks in your wallet to giving 10% pre-tax. Maybe this is a process. It should be done wisely. But also without fear, you know, is that God does provide. And that there are other ways, too, that we can provide. Like, it's not just writing checks, right? I think we should be giving back in our time, because it's probably more valuable to us anyway. And that also is a sacrificial gift. People need you to go to coffee and donuts, because every one of you has something to offer to someone else there. And just by your very physical presence in the room, they feel like the church is more alive. I mean, they see a sign of it in your presence. Every one of you has cool stuff to talk about, and they might learn something, or you might learn something. You might brighten someone's day by just sitting down next to them. Who's that guy sitting by himself? Just share a cup of coffee with him. He might have been super annoying the entire time, who knows? But you know what? He might have walked away feeling a lot better about himself, and you just had to suffer for 20 minutes. So coffee and donuts, I would make that, maybe it can't be a regular thing, but once a month, Knights of Columbus have pancake breakfast on the first Sunday of every month. It's cheap. Just throw in a few bucks, and sometimes they have the sausage links. They have bacon. Do they always have bacon?
No.
Bacon's a specialty.
It's a specialty. I'm just remembering it because I think they had it last time. Father's very particular about his sausage, so he sometimes doesn't get there at the beginning, and they run out of the sausage he likes. And sorry, Father. But Gina makes us breakfast. Yeah. What's
the significance of Sunday Mass versus a weekday Mass? So Sunday Mass is
the only one that's obligatory.
It's a holy obligation.
Yes.
Okay.
And that goes, again, from the beginning. The Sabbath was the day that the Lord rested on the seventh day, but Sunday became... The eighth day became the Sabbath in the New Covenant when Jesus rose on the eighth day. And so that's obligatory. And thank you for bringing up another good thing, because I do think in our faith journeys, our love of the Eucharist obliges us, obviously, to come on Sunday. But the graces are available to us throughout the week. And so if we can... you know, fold into our plan. Now, obviously, this isn't always possible, and maybe never possible for someone. But to try to get to Mass at some point during the week. We do have an evening Mass every Wednesday night. And you guys are all young adults. Well, you guys aren't, sorry.
It's brutal.
You're welcome to come to Mass, but the fire pit is off. Yeah, so we have confession beforehand, adoration every afternoon and into the evening and night. Yeah, and then we have an evening mass. So Wednesday, you could add a Wednesday night mass at this parish, or a Saturday morning mass, which does not count for Sunday. But yeah. So I don't think I asked. Did I answer your question?
Mm-hmm.
A daily mass is extra. I've had kids tell me that they go to Friday mass with our school, so they don't go to Sunday. That's not a substitute. Yeah. So, yeah. I think part of Catholic Now What, maybe you could get in the habit periodically of just swinging by a church, Catholic church, spending just a few minutes before the Blessed Sacrament. I was telling the kids at religious education a couple hours ago, there's a great quote by Archbishop Augustine de Noia. A young person at one of these retreats asked him, is Jesus more present to us when he's exposed in the monstrance than when he's in the tabernacle? Of course, the tabernacle is the thing in the center of our church behind the altar. That's Jesus is reserved there always. But like right now, if you went to our church, that big gold thing, Jesus is what we call exposed in the monstrance. So this kid asks, is he more present to us in the monstrance than he is in the tabernacle with basically the doors closed? I can't see him. And the Archbishop, I think, very beautifully says, no, of course not. But when he is exposed, he makes it possible for us to be more present to him. Yeah, I think that's true. And so just to spend some time, and we are blessed here that Father Kleinman has brought adoration into the main body of the church so we can fit. Before COVID, we were in this little chapel. I think I showed you guys the chapel, right?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. It was like roulette. You never knew how crowded would be in there, so it was not a place that I don't think good prayer for me, at least. But now it's in the church, and so you can always find a good place by yourself to be with Jesus. So that would be a good thing. Or maybe it's not St. Veronica's. Maybe it's the church nearest your place of work or closer to your house, even. So I know some of you don't live in our boundaries. There's something else tangentially related to that. I forget. Josh, any more excellent questions?
You're the one who came without an agenda. Give him free rein.
He's got a book and a pen.
I know. Right, exactly.
I've got notes.
This is RCIA book. Yeah.
Were you quoting someone there, or just that accidental?
Accidental. I don't know if I was quoting.
Why do a group of young boys arrive in Boy Scout uniforms at every single service? Is it like Boy Scouts are like, this is the most formal outfit you have, so come? Because I even noticed, like, at first I was like, oh, Boy Scouts must happen after this. And then I realized at the baptism one, I was like, there's no way there's Boy Scouts at 11:30 p.m.
No, they, we got rid of the Boy Scouts. I shouldn't say we, the parish got rid of the Boy Scouts years ago when they went woke. So they, one of the dads created something called the Rangers.
Okay.
So that's, you see these little guys in that little in uniform.
Yeah.
And they are in the uniform probably because they're selling donuts.
Okay.
And coffee.
So got it.
They've been there since, and many of the boys and their dad, because it's the little kid and the dad, mm-hmm. and it goes all the way up. So they have Eagle Scout. And I'm kind of the COVID priest, so they've not done this during my time here, but back, one of my classmates was the Proca Vicar 2 times ago. And there was a parishioner that owned an island in Canada, or maybe not the whole island, but it was like a private island, and they had a big thing, and so they would go up to Canada and camp on this island. Yeah. I didn't get to do that. I just sleep on the roof. So what else could we do? Or maybe you could tell me what we should be doing that you don't see us doing.
Is there a Bible study?
Thank you for saying that. I've wanted to start one, and I can't get anyone to help me. What do you think?
Hey, I'm too new to be starting stuff, right? You gotta vet me for a couple years first, right?
No, I think we should. I think we should tee that up again. I won't forget. To get it organized, there's many great programs, so there's not a lot of preparation that's required. We were going to do it, and then it just kind of dropped through the cracks for a thousand different reasons. But there's the Jeff Cavins has a Great American Bible. Oh, wait, I'm not getting that right.
Great Something Adventure.
Yes, Great Adventure Bible Series.
I think that's it.
Something like that, and which I think is a good place to start because it kind of gives you a great overview of Scripture and talks about a lot of the patriarchs and just the whole kind of get a sense for our roots and how it all kind of flows. And then you kind of do deep dives. Maybe I think Genesis would be a good one to start with. Maybe then you do Matthew or something. Some people like to start. Let's start with Revelation.
Let's not.
All right, let's talk. Let's start with the most complicated one before we have any foundation. I'm going to flip the page here, or flip the script. How can we better serve you, Father Kleinman and I? One more confession times. Yeah, Father, why don't you have confession on Tuesdays and Thursdays? We're getting chipped.
I show up every Tuesday. They never.
I did see someone in there. I almost ran out of the church. I'm kidding. Delete.
When you're examining your conscience. You know, what if you don't like find anything? If you're just like,
ask again.
All right, you're Pentecostal. What does the word say about it?
Well,
it says even a righteous man sins seven times a day. So you're probably not looking clear.
But like, so you think about like your week, and you're like, okay, yeah, I stubbed my toe and said the F word. Do I really want to? Yes. Should I really come in the group?
Yes.
Yeah. Doesn't that kind of just seem
Shouldn't you have worked this out before you got confirmed?
Wow.
What side are you on?
I missed a couple months there. I'm a little baffled.
He got baptized. Yeah, that way he did everything.
Right?
Yeah.
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 So now is your time to go with consistency because you've got the cleanest slate of all.
Yeah.
Well, it's been a month now.
Well, you better get on it.
Get on it.
Get on it.
Outside of missing a couple of masses.
Outside of missing a couple of masses, it's only been a month.
I'm batting 500.
What?
I'll go to the Hall of Fame if I die batting 500.
It's in the top three.
Do we need to leave the room for
a minute? What an emergency penitence.
I'm never without a skull in my back pocket.
Oh, man. So there's your list.
Yeah, I did look around at the 7:30 class here yesterday and noticed that you weren't there.
You're right.
There's a spreadsheet at home.
Well, no, I mean, he normally sits like roughly like, over on the right on the
glanced over. I was like, oh, Jen, come
on. Do you always sit in the same spot, too? Because I haven't found your spot because I think you're behind me. My chair is like pointed this way and you're like over there.
Yeah, you're over there.
On the right side, toward the front. Yeah, or, right. So I'm always on the right.
Yeah, you're like on the right side.
You mean the left?
Your left, yes.
Just to really lay all the cards out on the table, we missed Mass this past weekend too.
I know.
And I.
West Virginia!
Then the dinner reservations in West Virginia at like 6 p.m. And I was like, that's not ideal, but like we can go the next morning. And then there was this big white coat ceremony for her sister. It was at 10 a.m. And I was like, I don't think there's any way that we can make this work.
It's like a country club. Is there like reciprocal reporting?
Yeah.
I mean, you can go to
that. So I was thinking I'll just mass this week. You know, it's not going to like take care of that. I didn't intentionally miss mass, though. I was like, there was like family obligations.
Well, remember, guys, in regards to mortal sin, three things are required, right? Number one, grave matter. This has to be a serious thing. Missing mass is the third commandment. So, right?
Ooh. All right.
So this is a top three, okay? It's super, super important. So it is grave matter. I can't tell you it's a mortal sin for you or for y'all, right? Certainly not for Teddy. And not because it's not grave, but for the other two reasons, right? You have to have full knowledge. It seems like, Josh, how did he get through this class? It seems to know.
You look up and you become often.
Now he knows.
Yep.
All right, so you have to have full knowledge, and you have to have consent, basically, ability to consent. You have to have perfect freedom. So, in fact, I was just reading about this earlier today. There's a Facebook page, a private Facebook page for priests, and so it's really got some, you know, some good information. People will ask difficult questions, and you get a lot of canon lawyers to try to give answers and stuff. Anyway, someone had been approached earlier in the week by this couple who's going on a cruise to Alaska, and they were going to miss Sunday and a holy day of obligation, maybe two holy days of obligation, so they were going to miss a ton of masses, and they wanted a dispensation from going to mass, and this priest is question whether it was even necessary, but also whether it could be a sin. And it was just interesting to see the different voices on this in the answer to that question. The answer is it's not a sin if you're on a boat and cannot go to mass. So that's the answer. But then there were a lot of people suggesting, well, then couldn't they have not done on the cruise? Doesn't that make it a sin? No. it's maybe there are better choices. It certainly doesn't make it a serious sin, because the three things are, it's definitely grave matter. You miss mass. But what, are you supposed to swim to shore? I mean, you're on a boat. You can't get there. Now, you did put yourself on that boat, so maybe there's something that you ought to be doing. So somehow you should be making the Sabbath the Lord's Day.
So that's actually a funny thing you mentioned, cruises. So in February, it was a Valentine's Day gift, so I took him to the Bahamas, and our cruise port kept changing. Like, all the days kept changing, and I'm like, I don't even know where I'm going to be now at this point. On Sunday, we found out we were going to be in the Bahamas, in Nassau, and we looked at each other and said, we need to find Mass. And it's actually really cool, though. Like, you never know, like, the experiences you'll have when you go to other countries and you just find a parish.
Well, some cruise lines actually have a priest. They'll pay the priest to have an inner cabin with no window. And it's not even air conditioning. It's just like right by the sun.
I don't know if they still
But it's free.
Yeah, Holland America does it. There's actually like a paid, you have a paid priest that come on board.
They have mass at Dulles Airport, I found out.
Really?
Yeah, but one of the terminals you can go and like there's like services throughout the day for the different religions and then.
So I, one of the things I do, because I have very generous parents that allow me to go to Hawaii every year, but I like to hike, and my mom has a timeshare on Kauai, which is a big hiking place, and there's this one particular hike. It's one of the most beautiful hikes in the world, so I'm told. I've only done part of it because it requires a permit, and apparently it's... So I track this one Facebook page, and it's just people telling us their stories. And anyway, so I really want to go, but it's a 3-day ordeal. one day in, one day to hang out at the beach that's 11 miles away. You're traveling along the Nepali coast, which is... Remember that Jurassic Park scene when the helicopter's coming in? That's the Nepali coast. Amazingly beautiful. And and then one day to be at the beach and then one day to hike back. So, well, I'm a priest. I want to celebrate Mass every day. Can I do this? Where's my altar? So I'm trying to figure out how I can do that. And would I do it when there's people like smoking a whatever over there? They got the old hookah bar set up in their tent.
In bathing suits.
Right. So, yeah, I'm trying. Does anyone have any answers for me? Delete this section. Or maybe Brian has an answer.
So I do actually have a question, though, the Bahamas thing. If we were to have missed Mass, so we walked about 2 miles inland to find a church. If we had missed that Mass that day, would that have been?
No. I mean, thank you for getting us back onto that topic, though, because I do think, though, I mean, there are people in some parts of the world that will walk for literally hours just to get to Mass. Something I think I lost a lot of friends, honestly, at this parish when I kept bringing that up during the pandemic, that we could look at our church history and people willing to die for the Eucharist. Oh, I could just turn on the TV, click. And I get to see Mass. Yeah, but you don't get to receive the Eucharist. But I don't have to go yet. So, I don't know. I kept reminding people of that, and I think a lot of people don't like me for that reason. Delete that section. I think they've warmed up to me later. I think that would be a good question that we need to be asking ourselves is, this is a tremendous gift. Why wouldn't we do backflips in order to do it? But you know, cruises are awesome. And so sometimes there are situations where we can't make it. That's one reason why I don't go. Although, now that I'm a priest, it's easier for me. I just have Mass in my room. So, unfair.
We did listen to your homily.
There you go.
I just updated it.
You just sound a little under the weather.
Well, it's just my normal voice. No, I just updated it to 5 p.m.
Oh.
You heard the 7 p.m.
Yeah. I
like
it a lot.
That's good.
It was the Good Shepherd, Josh. I shouldn't pick up. I'm sorry. That is rude.
You brought it up.
You confess. He's got bad dreams about it tonight.
That was not confession. Now we got quiet. Now I feel better.
Okay.
Are you a Jets fan?
No, I'm a Giants fan.
Okay. Did you see that kid?
On the round one draft?
Was he the round one guy?
The kid,
Jets?
Yeah. Who announced the draft pick? Yeah. McDonald.
I don't think I've ever seen something so awesome than that. Because he's like a cancer survivor. That's what I heard.
It sounds like a make-a-wish.
You were going to Jakarta?
No, we were going to the car dealership. Listen to it.
We were dropping
in Indonesia.
No. We were dropping off her car at 8 o'clock.
And he was making me listen to it.
So I was listening to the draft.
All right. Is there anything else anyone wants to talk about, or should we end? You want to have another? What about this random quote? I have this quote section on my phone. There's a seminarian professor that apparently, this is after I left, he said, and this is relates to our topic here, the truth will set you free, but first, it'll make you miserable. What do you think of that?
No pain, no gain.
Yeah. I mean, we got to get some of our rough spots chiseled off. When we find out what we should be doing, there's a little bit of pain sometimes to get there. So we're miserable. So what's next week?
Next week's the wrap-up with Father Clinton. Evangelization and the wrap-up.
And the wrap-up. Yeah, pray for Father. He is, today he had a funeral for his sister's son's little baby died. So, I don't think they were expecting this, but the baby only lived 3 hours. So he did the funeral back in Wisconsin, and now tomorrow we're supposed to be at a priest convocation, a priest meeting, to relax. This is the post-Easter fun. So there's a speaker, so we learn some stuff, and we pray together, and then we have some fun. There's a lot of food. So he's missing part of that, but he will go there tomorrow and Wednesday morning. Then I will. Alright. Well, why don't we force this to stay longer than we have to? Let's do something.
I don't remember if it was discussed earlier, but how does the church look at folks who have never had an opportunity to be exposed to the church? I mean, there's...
Could that be in heaven when they die? Is that what you're asking?
I guess that's part of it, and I think the answer is yes.
That's what Vatican II would certainly say.
But because before I became Catholic, for one thing, that always sort of bothered me. Is like, why would God create so many people that he hasn't been able to get to, or that we haven't sent, missionaries haven't gotten there, or a priest hasn't shown up, you know, on a shipwreck or something, and then start exposing them to the word?
Or China.
Or, yeah, where they just kill them.
But, all right, so baptism is necessary for salvation. Pentecost is what was that?
I'm just kidding.
Joshua, I'm sorry. I will stop again. Right now.
You're going to have to try a lot harder than that to offend me.
No, that's scriptural, right? Okay. So many people die without baptism, including that baby that Father did the funeral for today was baptized. But there are many babies that die in utero. Let's just use that as an example, whether it was by the choice of their mother or just by some natural causes, right? Baptism is necessary for salvation. They're not baptized, so they go to hell, right?
No.
Oh, thank goodness you said that.
God gives us the sacraments, but he's not bound by the flesh.
Yeah.
And then after that, not much use.
But in a certain sense, we would say they were baptized, okay? Not in the sacrament sense, but in what we call the baptism by desire of Jesus Christ's church. And the same thing can happen to the Aborigines. Is that kind of where you were going?
Yeah, that's sort of where I was
there going. In the middle of the Australian outback. Nobody's told them who Jesus is. They go around just eating snakes and bugs, and they never had access to things. Well, they didn't have a chance, right? So God created them to go to hell? No.
John Calvin would say yes.
What's that?
John Calvin would say yes.
What's
the role, or what's...
Can I finish my sentence?
Oh, sorry.
So,
we're done.
So, to the extent they cooperated with the grace that they had access to, and as Catholics, now everyone in the room, we have a higher standard now, right? Because we have access to grace in ways that others do not. it's shameful that sometimes our Protestant brothers and sisters know Scripture more than us. We wrote it. Or at least we, the church, deciding what was inspired and what was not, led by the Spirit, of course. So we have access to the Eucharist and to the Sacrament of Penance. Yet so many of our Protestant brothers and sisters seem, at least, to be more on fire than us. And that's shameful. And so now I'm forgetting the point I was going to make. I went on a side tangent. Go, Josh.
Catholic school. How does the church conceive of it, at least in this country, and how should we as parishioners in this parish who have school-age children, what should we think about Catholic Church? How should we consider
it? I'm a big proponent of Catholic schools, but it's obviously not affordable for many. I do think well, for two reasons. One, what's happening in public schools is a hot mess. I mean, I wouldn't want to send my kid there if I can afford to not. That's what I would do. But also, I think, for the most part, you get a very solid liberal arts education all the way up through high school, right? I think you are prepared pretty well for going beyond that, if that's what they want. But you're also hopefully are getting a solid theological foundation. You learn Thomas Aquinas' virtue, right? So which you would not get in public school. But it's $6,000, this is for our school, $6,000 a year. And it gets more expensive when you go up to high school. And that's one kid for a year. It's not for everyone.
After you pay daycare, then that's not...
Right, exactly. Yeah. That's what I was thinking. I was like, that sounds like pleasure. Yeah. Right.
I paid 15 grand for kindergarten for my kid.
Yeah. And that's nothing compared to daycare. If Brian goes open a daycare,
right?
Well, that's true. The younger kids are more expensive.
Right.
Because that's, the teacher-to-kid ratio is small.
Right.
Yeah. Infant daycare is 2 grand a month.
Yeah. 3 grand in Roslyn.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yes.
You went to work today.
Yeah, it was terrible. Aww. I'm so bad. I can't live at home. Everybody cried.
Watching the work emails come in, like, all right.
Teddy cried too.
Yeah, he did. Ken reminded me every hour.
I just had questions about what was going on because I didn't know.
I was like, I'll quit my job right now.
So that's what the Catechism, I mean the Vatican II says about people are going to be judged based on what they had access to, and so we as Catholics now have access to a lot. We as Catholics who have access to so much information now, the Catechism, obviously Scripture, so many amazing resources through Ascension Press and Augustine Institute and Hallow apps and on and on and on. Father Mike Schmidt's podcasts. I mean, there's just so much information we have access to. I think it does mean that we have to cooperate with the grace that's then comes available to it. We should be bright lights in our workplaces and beyond. And hopefully that's what Father Kleiman will speak about next week in regards to evangelization, because I think that's something that Protestants do better than us. They are, many are very comfortable coming up to you and asking if you've been saved. And I've never once had a Catholic do that to me. I've had a Protestant, when I was dressed like this, ask me that question.
Wow. Really?
What did you say?
Aggressive.
I was baptized and hypnotized.
I was saved, I am being saved, and please God, I will be saved. Oh, snap. I didn't say that. See why I didn't want to record it? They stopped listening 20 minutes ago. Anyway, any more last ditch efforts to get this to last till 9 o'clock?
No.
You don't have to go all the way to 9. That's never been a requirement.
Father does, doesn't he?
He usually does. sometimes a little past 9.
Yeah.
I thought about bringing scotch, but I'm having a gout flare up. And
Yes,
this
is
talking
out and go to the
doctorate. I talked to a doctor yesterday about maybe becoming his patient.
Potentially this morning.
If anyone knows how to make kidneys process purines, you'll be my best friend. Because I don't want to.
I've got a couple ideas.
I don't even know what that means.
Yeah, me either.
I'm not supposed to.
And I probably don't want
to. I'm not supposed to eat red meat.
No. Oh.
They say shellfish, but some lists say fish. So, I mean, I get a huge salmon every Friday.
And live on chicken the rest of the time?
Well, and even some of the lists have chicken. Am I not supposed
to? Oh, so red.
And alcohol. Those top three are red meat, let's just call it shellfish, and liquor.
That's the second one I can't. I
couldn't
handle. I eat so much fish.
I know. Well, but I can tell because I wanted to test it out. Someone asked me to just do that. Just try to limit certain foods and the alcohol, and it definitely got better. Mm. And then we had all this seafood, this giant salmon that's so delicious, and I'm like, well, I don't want it to waste. So I'm having a flare-up. My feet are on fire.
Oh.
I'm not complaining.
You're allowed to eat gluten, correct?
Why do people say, I don't even know what gluten is. Wheat?
Yeah, like bread. Yeah.
Well, no, because I'm on the keto diet. So.
Okay.
So basically, I can eat peanut butter.
Yeah,
I was going to
say,
you're basically a vegan at this point.
No, someone told me to do, not Whole Foods, what it's called?
Whole 30.
I don't know what that is.
But there is also, it's no refined sugar, basically.
So I should just eat non-processed foods.
Mm-hmm. Stay on the outside part of the store.
I don't shop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Food just arrives at the house.
That's the way it is at our house. This magic box suddenly fills up with stuff.
Did you ever, this is totally off topic. See, this is why you became a Catholic. Did you see that one, it's British video, where this husband comes in, honey, this is a magic basket. And I put clothes in it, and then all of a sudden, it comes back and it's folded and clean. And just the funny way they did it. And then there was another one where you say that this is a magic table, that he'll have his pizza box on there and all this other stuff. And then the next morning, it's totally cleaned up. It's just very funny. It's not a magic table. She's doing it. She thought he was being funny, but
yeah, we have. I've seen the magic table before.
Yeah, we have one of those.
And the magic refrigerator.
Not as that.
There's pizza boxes everywhere. There's not a clean club. Clean closet in the house.
Like, we can't not have the couples night in our house. We can't.
We can see how goals go. Because like their house is the same as ours. Size, same layout. Yeah. So
they live in your apartment complex?
They live in one that's like a quarter mile away. That we almost bought it in.
Yeah.
Same square footage, same bed.
We don't have a newborn though. We have, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
There's baby stuff everywhere.
Poor James probably has to go back to work, so we want to. Are you really?
No. Okay.
Do you know something?
Fox News just told me Jim Jordan calling his staff to the office. There's some.
I need to get on a plane for that.
There's some
helicopter.
Oh, wait. Where is he?
He's in Florida.
Oh.
We're out of session this week.
All right. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of these wonderful people. We ask that you continue to guide and lead them in truth, beauty, and goodness. Forgive me for my silliness. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Forgive me, Josh, for...
Thanks very much, Father.
Yeah, thank you.